baptize my head with oil, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. The Lord is with us. We need to pray first this morning before I speak. As you notice, there's some seats missing or some folks missing this morning. Joe Jeffries had a fall. Gertrude had a fall. Both have some injuries. It's very difficult when you get in your 80s and these kind of things happen. Also, for Marie, lost a sister this week. We need to remember the family and Marie at this time. There are many hurting this morning. There are many fighting battles. And so let's join with me as we go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, you are a God of compassion. You are a God that hears. You are a God that understands. And Father, we lift up to you Gertrude and Joe this morning. And we ask, Father, that you will touch their bodies and that, Lord, you will restore those injuries to fullness of health. Lord, we pray for Maurice and for the family of the lost loved one, Father. You are the God of all comfort and peace. You alone are able to come and provide peace and comfort in this time of grief. And Lord, we pray you will be with them by your Holy Spirit. And for each one here this morning, Father, we ask those that are struggling physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, that, Father, you will come and that you will speak to each heart and that, Lord, you will meet them where they are and that, Lord, restoration will be theirs. We pray for our pastor, Lord, that you will continue to work in his life, that he will be fully restored to health again. Lord, you are a good God. You are our healer. You are our redeemer. You are the one who's above all things. And so, Father, we pray today for those who need a touch. May they reach out to you. And may, oh God, they have an encounter with the living God. In Jesus' name. Happy Valentine's Day. So what do you think I'm going to talk about? Love. It's all about love. It was very interesting when I was looking up some various things on love. The more I looked, the weirder it got. I was up to 7, 8, 9 types of love, and the longer the read, the worse it got. And I said, I'm going back to the 4 I know, the 4 that we are more familiar with. But love is a universal, it's an essence of our being. We all want to be loved and to love. Man has many interpretations of what love is. When we talk about love, we talk about that between a couple. It is the foundation of any good and strong relationship. And really in life, there's nothing more satisfying and pleasing than a good love relationship. In our society, the 4 types of love that we normally hear about is eros, which is that passionate love, which includes physical desire, appearance, romance. That's one. Then there's storge, the love of parents and siblings. That extended love focuses on building compassionate, caring, and emotional bonding. And then there's pragma, the need-based love, on what I need and what I want. And so this is where people are looking for profession, education, qualifications, common hobbies, material belongings. It's all about the need base. But the greatest of love is agape, the purest form of love. It promotes brotherly affection and love for each other. There's agape between you and I as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's God's immeasurable, incomparable love for mankind. It's his ongoing, self-sacrificing concern for lost and fallen people. And a little bit, I'm going to talk about unconditional love and spend a little time there. God is love. That's his very nature. Volumes have been written about the characteristics of God. But it can be detailed down to most basic characteristics. One is in 1 John 4 and 8, all about God. Whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. And then there's Jeremiah 10 and 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, the eternal King. When he is angry, the earth trembles. The nations cannot endure his wrath. He's life. God is love, the eternal King, holy. Psalm 99 and 9 says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. So these are basic characteristics of God. And in reality, his love, life, and holiness are based on an expression of his love. His love that he gives. Love that deserves the best. But holiness precedes him. Love is not something God chooses to do or give, nor should it be the way you and I operate. Love is not about choosing what I will do or what I will give. Pure love means I will give, I will do, out of a heart of love. 1 John 4:16 says, and so we know and rely on the love of that love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. We have to rely on God's love for us, whether we fully understand his love or not. Love motivates his action. Stop and think about the love of God. Go back to the Garden of Eden. God created Adam and Eve to have relationship. He loved them. They walked in the cool of the day. They had relationship. And can you imagine the heart of God when Adam and Eve sinned? I'm sure if God ever cried, he cried at that moment. The broken relationship, that pure relationship that he had with Adam and Eve, and sin entered the world and changed the picture. And then move on. That span of years when the world became worse and worse and worse. And yet his love was still seen throughout all of the Old Testament. His love for the Israelites. Can you imagine? I know, God help me if I'd have been the leader. May not have been a lot of love right then. But God loved them. They failed. He'd do something for them. They'd forget it. And they'd go back to Egypt or back to their idols after God had delivered them. And it wasn't long after he brought them out of Egypt, they wanted to go back to Egypt. But it was God's love and God's mercy that they are still in this world today. That's why you and I are in this world today. God's love, God's mercy. He's created us. God's love is not in the world, not seen, don't understand, and many don't want it because it might interfere with what they want. Some people say, I'll love you as long as you add value to my life and please me. I remember one of the saddest things I ever heard was one of my colleagues whose husband became ill. He lost his job. He was in his late 50s and became depressed, severely depressed. And my colleague came in to me and she said, how long is this depression going to last? And I said, well, that varies. I said, is he going to see someone? Oh, yeah. Is he going to be on medication? Yeah. Well, it can be very quick or it can take time because sometimes you need different types of medication and you have to, you know, whatever. Well, she said, if he doesn't get over it soon, I'm leaving him. And I thought, well, what? Why did you marry the man if that's all you had to give? That wasn't love. Believe me, that wasn't love. He was okay as long as he met what she wanted, but she wasn't about to give anything in those circumstances. It's not about what I want. It's what about what I can give. God's love is unconditional. And you and I will never understand God's unconditional love as long as we're on this side of the grave. It's a beautiful love. It never fails. Psalm 52 and 8 reminds us it never fails. And it endures forever. So back to Psalm 52 and 8. But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. You and I can blip. God doesn't. He's enduring. He's unfailing. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his love endures forever. Mother Teresa said, intense love does not measure. It just gives. I thought that was pretty powerful. A woman who gave her life giving, and yet who was of, when you read her, some of her writings, that, you know what, she didn't feel so loved. She didn't worry about that. She worried about pouring out. Unconditional love does not mean that God loves everything we do, but rather, his love is so intense. He loves us in spite of. I don't know how good you are at visualizing, but let's go on a little journey. Jesus is here in the midst of us today. Whether you believe it or not, he is here. And he's walking up and down the aisles. And all of a sudden he comes and he stands in front of you. And he's looking eyeball to eyeball. What would be your response? Would you be able to look deep into the eyes of Jesus Christ if he was standing in front of you? Therein lies the measure of our love. Some people will look away. Some people are going to look down. And other people will be able to look into those eyes and see the love and respond with love. You and I can have a deep relationship. God wants to be our lover. He wants to be in relationship, an intimate relationship with you and I. He thought he had it when he had Adam and Eve, but they failed. The Israelites have failed, and you and I have failed. But that's what he wants. God is love, but love has to be reciprocal for it to be a relationship. It's no good for God to love me if I don't, in return, love him. It's only one way. There is no satisfaction in a one-sided relationship. It will fail. Love is, so let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. And we've all heard it over. We've heard it at weddings and different times. Many sermons preached on it. But it's the true essence of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always preserves. And is verse 7 there? Maybe not. It's okay. Love. That's a pretty high standard. That's God's standard. His love meets all of those things. And that's what he wants for you and I. And he also wants that kind of relationship between God and us as individuals. You see, the reason some people could not look Jesus in the eye, because their past came welling up. And they thought, how can God love me? Forgetting God forgave them, and it was cast in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against them anymore. But it all came up. It's sort of like that when something happens and your life rolls before you like a video. It all came up. And they couldn't look at Jesus. They didn't fully understand that what was given, forgiven, had been cast away. Others couldn't look at him because of what happened just before. he encountered them. But guess what? God still loves you and I. There is absolutely nothing that we have done or will do that with a blood won't cover, and God will love us anyway. Think of the prodigal son. It's a beautiful story. Put it in the context of you and I. We were all prodigals at some point. So here is this young man. He was sick and tired of being on the farm, or whatever it was that his father had, the estate. And obviously they had money or resources, and they were going to get, and the sons were going to get some. And this son decided he'd had enough of home. Give me my portion, and I'm going to live the life. And where did he find himself? In a pig pen. Wasted his resort, all his inheritance, had nothing left. And then he said, got to thinking about home and about his dad and wondering, what are they doing? Well, maybe I could go back and just be a servant for my dad, because he knew he had done wrong. And so he starts on the journey home, and I'm sure he was sort of hesitant, worried about what dad was going to say. The father's love had not changed when the son left home. His love did not change. He probably knew what his son had done. He probably knew about his son being in the pig pen. He probably had been scouting about. And then he saw he was always looking out. And then one day he saw his son coming in rags, dirty, and he runs to him, puts a robe upon his back, a ring upon his finger, and guess what? Killed the fatted calf to have a feast. My son has come home. The love of the father for his son. And then we have the other brother who was not too happy with that. We'll leave him. It was the father's love. That was God for you and I. You and I were prodigals. He wanted to have relationship with you and I. And so he had a plan. He said he didn't just do anything. He sent heaven's best, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be the image of the Father. He says, he who knows me knows my Father. My Father and I are one. Heaven's best was sent for you and I. And that love took him to a cross. We will never fully understand what Christ went through in the beatings and the shedding of his blood and being nailed to that cross. We have no real comprehension. Some people have suffered greatly, have been whipped and all of the rest. But you were not bearing the sin of man. Kind. It was his love for you, for me, that put him on that cross, because he wanted you and I to have relationship with him and with the Father. He wanted you and I to be his lover. And I don't put that in a crass way. An intimate relationship with God, Jesus Christ. That is what God wants, a love relationship. Because if there's no relationship, the love bond can't happen. Love is dynamic force or presence that naturally seeks expression. Love loves. Love loves. And in order to do that, there has to be an object of that love, or it is incomplete. So God loved us enough, he created us in his own image. Well, that's hard to believe some days, is it not? We were created in the image of God. But the problem was, he gave us freedom of choice. And that's where it all hinges. What is our choice? We can accept God's love, or we can ignore it and go on. Ignore it, go on, you'll never be happy. You will never be happy. God created you and I with this whatever in our hearts that we need love and the love of God, and to be, for that relationship to be developed. You and I will never understand the totality of God's love in this world, ever. We always, there are many people who think, well, I got to do this, I got to do that. They live by works. What I do this, I'm good. Doesn't work. It's all about the relationship. You can go out there and do all you want to do, but it ain't going to give you a relationship. Relationship comes with when you interact with the lover. And how do we do that? We go before him. We worship him. We adore him. God dwells in the praises of his people. When you and I go before God and we give him praise and thanksgiving, his heart rejoices. He comes close to us. And then there's his word. He reveals himself to you and I through his word. And as we're reading the word comes to life, and God draws near. We see God in the word. Relationship then builds. And it's all about how intense that relationship will become depends on us as individuals. It can either be a little strand, or somewhat okay, or it can be intense, and it can be the lover. God desires to be my lover and your lover. That is his will. That's why he died. When we reflect on our relationship with God, how intense is it? That is the question today. How intense is your relationship and my relationship with the Father and with the Son? Is it great comfort? Is it a relationship that no matter what, the enemy can't come at me with lies because I know my God? I have a relationship with my God. It's not to say my humanness doesn't get in the way, but God, when we build that relationship, God is there. Even when we don't feel him, he's there. Our relationship with God is not the sum of our activity. It's the totality is the measurement of our devotion to him. He has his best desires for you and I. And you know, there are times we don't particularly like what he's decided we have to walk through, walk around, walk over. It can be intense. It can be difficult. But he knows what we go through. He came. He suffered as a man. He knows. He's not dead. He's not an idol. He's a God that is alive. He's around 24/7. And his ear is not deaf. And he will be with us. And it was 4 weeks ago, JB said he's in the midst. Folks, he's still in the midst. He's in the midst of everything in your life and my life. He's there. Whether you feel him or not, he's in the midst. We can choose to complain. Doesn't get me anywhere when I complain to God. He just, get on with it. Get on with it. Hey. Come on. Come on. That is God. His will and his best desires are for us. And sometimes the road will be rough and it will be hard. But what he did say, that he would be with us. Romans 8, 35 to 9. I'm going to close with this. See if it comes up. There it is. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all the day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is God's unconditional love for us. And there is nothing, my friends, that will separate you and I from God's love. He loves us, and he says, I love you. Just the way you are. Just spend time in my presence. I long to have relationship. I long to be your lover. God, Father, we thank you that you love us, that you care for us, and we thank you, Father, that your love meant that we would have heaven's best and that you left us with the best there is, the Holy Spirit. Lord, help each one of us to develop our relationship with you, that you truly are our lover and the one that we adore and spend time with. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us. In Jesus' name.